That was beautiful. Thank you, Liz. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship? What does God require of us? God wants justice. What else does God want? God wants faithful love. Anything else? God wants us to walk humbly with God. Please join in the opening prayer. Come, holy wisdom, and show us your ways. In our confusing world, many voices demand our attention. Teach us to look with your eyes. Help us walk humbly beside you, doing what is right, speaking your truth. You alone are our guide and guardian on paths of peace and reconciliation. Amen. Today's opening hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. You can watch on the screen, or it can be found on page 384 in the hymnal, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Amen. Friends, you may be seated. As you're seating yourselves, would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you continue to keep the world on its path, that night and day come in its time, and so do the seasons. God, we give you thanks for those who were able to come in. We give you thanks for those who will be listening later. God, we give you thanks for those out in the cold, working, making sure that we are safe. God, be with us. Be with us as we rejoice with new births. Be with us as we pray for those who are in the hospital, those with illness or injury. God, we pray your healing upon them. Lord, be with us. Walk with us. And Lord, may we have the courage to speak with you and to you, that you might know the longings of our hearts, and that one day our hearts might beat in time with yours. God, we lift up our prayers, both those we've spoken, those that are silent on our hearts right now. We lift up our prayers and we give you thanks. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. And so, with the confidence of the people of God, let's pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. I think it's time to have the kids up, don't you? Kids, come on up.
Good morning.
There's kind of a lot of us up here. All right, so I'm going to hand something out before I talk. Does that work? Can you pass it down? There you go. And this one's for you. Want to pass it down? This one's for you. Would you like it? All right, friends. So I'll explain your sheets of paper in a second. So first, in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 18 is a really common one. I'm sure you guys have heard it. It's love your neighbor as yourself. Who has heard that before? Yeah, or older kids, yeah. Usually when we talk about that verse, we talk about being kind to others, right? Yeah, we hear that a lot, right? But there's a second part of that, isn't there? It's not just love your neighbor, period. It's love your neighbor as yourself, right? So does that mean we have to love ourselves? Yeah. Yeah? All right. Sometimes that can be hard, right? Yeah. It can be kind of hard sometimes. So I printed off some little affirmations for you guys to read in the morning to yourselves or to read with your parents. So we're going to read them right now. So I'm going to say them and you guys can repeat after me, okay? All right. I love myself. Adults, you can join in if you would like. I am amazing just the way I am. I am fun. I have special talents. I am smart. My family loves me. I am enough. I feel better already, don't you guys? We'll work on it. It'll be a practicing thing. All right, should we pray?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, God.
Hey, God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For making me.
For making me.
I know that you worked really hard on me. Thank you for this amazing day. I love you. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is taken from Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the case of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam son of Beor answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving facts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Today's special music is the chancel choir singing Lead Me, Lord.
At this time, we have a moment where we remember that God is good, and that through all things, God will and has provided Friends, our ushers will be coming down with the plates. If you have offering that you'd like to put in them, we would be most appreciative. If you already give online, if you already give via EFT or any other way, or send a check in the mail, we are also appreciative. Thank you for all of the ways that you continue to help this church meet its mission and do the work that God has called us to. But now, I invite you to reflect on the ways that God has been good and that God cares for each and every one of us. Almighty God, bless these gifts that we have brought. Lord, as you first gave to us, so we give back to you, so that our community, that our people, that our world might be blessed through you. God, continue to help us have gracious and generous hearts. Continue to help us live with hands open so that those who need your love and your grace might be welcomed and embraced by your people. God, help us grow. Help us grow so that your love may be known throughout all the face of the earth. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. So I invite you to continue to stay standing as we prepare our hearts and sing our hymn of prep. We will sing it three times through.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Our gospel today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Friends, this is the good news according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The good news of Jesus Christ. And all the people said, Amen. What do we do here? What a very broad question to start this off with. What do we do here? We worship a whole lot of things, right? We worship, we pray, we encourage one another, we come, we gather, we share food. Sometimes we have juice and bread up here. But friends, over my not so long life, I've come to realize something very simple. Here is where we practice what Micah 6 called out for. That we might do justice, that we might love kindness, that we might walk humbly with our God. Here is one place among many that we practice that. And I would argue that that's probably the whole point of what we do as Christians. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Now, when you, maybe you're young enough to be athletic still, I'm trying to be athletic once again, amen? Yeah. Would you believe once upon a time in college, or just right after college, I had a very good friend, and she called me up one day and said, "Hey, Luke, I think we should do a sprint triathlon. I think we should do a sprint triathlon." For those of you who don't know, a triathlon is swimming and biking and running. And the long ones are really long. But the sprint ones are just long enough where people like me aren't going to drown. Hallelujah? Hallelujah. So I said, sure, why not? Let's try it. What could go wrong? Of course, I was a biker throughout my high school and college career. Running, I didn't cross country. Swimming, how hard could it be? So I thought that perhaps I should train maybe a little bit. Just a little bit. So maybe one or two days in the summer before the event, I got out and I went swimming at whatever lake was close. And it wasn't too hard. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world. But I thought, I've never trained for Ragbri. Why should I have to train for this? Yikes. The wisdom of youth, isn't it? Maybe confidence is a little bit better of a term. So I'm there on the day of the triathlon. Looks like it's a beautiful day. Nothing can go wrong here. And I get in the water, and back then, I was an athletic kid. I could do just about what I needed to or wanted to. And so I'm in the water, and I'm starting to swim. And I get about halfway out. It's out and back is what it is. I get about halfway out. And do you know what my legs and my arms start to do? Ooh, they're getting tired. And I go a little bit further, and now I am halfway out, in the middle of this lake.
And you know what I'm starting to think? I'm going to die. I'm going to drown. I don't have a living will. I didn't even tell anyone who all gets all of my stuff. I am going to perish here and no longer exist. Now, luckily, they had kayaks out there, and so I swam to the nearest one and held on and rested. And I thought to myself, I have made the least intelligent decision of my life. And so that's how the rest of that leg went. I swam from kayak to kayak to kayak. Because I'm not a what? Swimmer. I'm not a swimmer. So eventually I make it to shore, and I don't know if I gave thanks to God or not, but it would have been right and appropriate to give thanks to God. And I get my bike shoes on, and I hop on the bike, and this is where I shine, or at least I'm not dead. So I get on the bike, and I go, and I make up quite a bit of time, actually. And I come back in, and now it's time to run. Unfortunately, what's happened is I've swam and I've biked, and I am exhausted. What should I have done the weeks and months before? Trained, right? So here I am. I'm running. It's not the most embarrassing pace in the world, but it certainly reminds me of when I first started cross country. I'm running. I'm putting step after step after step behind me. And it's going to be about 3 miles, friends. I'm probably a mile out. And do you know what my legs start to do? Cramp. Ooh, they start to cramp something fierce. The kind where you just want to sit down and drink a whole glass of pickle juice to try and, you know, get rid of it. Or eat 2 or 3 or 20 bananas to get that potassium in. It's bad, friends. But what can't I do? I can't stop. Because the finish line is just over that hill. I have to keep going. And so I hesitate to call it running. It's more of plodding along. And it feels like my muscles are tying themselves into knots. And eventually, I make it. I get over that finish line, and I collapse. I should have done what, friends? Trained. And for the next 2, 3, I don't know, how much of a fishing story do you want this to be? For the next several days, my legs were shot. I could hardly walk. If I had a cane, it probably would have helped. But I should have trained. Or at least this is something where it would have been helpful. I should have trained. How many of you view faith like that at all? Anyone? Is faith like that at all? Maybe. Of course, your legs aren't going to cramp. You're not literally going to drown, but how many times have you found yourselves in situations where you're thinking, I am out of my depth? There are questions I can't answer. There are situations where it's hard to be gracious or kind. How many of you have been in moments where you start to think, what do I do now? Because I'm sure we've all been there, haven't we? We've all been in those places where we ask ourselves, as those old wristbands used to say, what would Jesus do here, now? See, sometimes I think we think that faith is just checking a box. Yes, I believe this, and then going on our way. And yet, there's something deeper to this. There's something glorious that is just beyond that hill. There's something burning brightly if we pay attention enough to see it. Now, before we get even further, don't misunderstand me. By faith, you are saved by grace, or something like that, right? Your salvation comes from your trust and your faith in God. Nothing else. No other boxes need to be checked. When you stand before God and God says, well, what do you think? And you say, well, I don't know, but I trust you. That's enough. That's enough. But here in this life, that's like saying, well, I guess I could eat oatmeal for the rest of my life with a little bit of fruit. It's enough sustenance, isn't it? It's enough to get me by. God calls us into something deeper. And I really want us to sit with this today and reflect on this today. God calls us into something deeper. Because here's the uncomfortable truth, I think. We come here to worship, to fellowship, to encourage one another. This is the perception that we have about ourselves. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to view it, over the years, over the centuries, we as Christians have been upheld as people who are holy or good or moral or whatever word you want to put in there. So what happens when we stumble a little bit, which is normal, by the way. How many of you are human? How many of you are human? All of us in here, all of us in here, all of us listening, we're all human, right? But what happens sometimes is when we do stumble and when we do fall, we're held to a higher standard, if only because we have said, and rightfully so, if only because we have said, God is here to not only heal our spirits and our souls, but to help train them so that they may love more deeply and act more kindly, that we might be more generous and gracious and gentle and patient. I know, right? I wish I could have given Paul a little bit of advice before he wrote Galatians 5, said, set the bar just a little bit lower. Amen? Right, I know. But it begs the question, what do we do here? What is the point of this? What is the end? What is the purpose? Where should we find ourselves at the end of our days? What is that goal or that finish line to shoot for? Much like Moses did how many thousands of years ago, Jesus got up on a mountain and he spoke to the people and he said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who long for justice and righteousness. Blessed are those who are merciful. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. See, what happens sometimes, if history doesn't repeat itself, it certainly rhymes. What happens sometimes is that society gets tipped upside down. And what God does is try and tip it back up to where it needs to be. Blessed are the merciful. That's a good attitude in society, isn't it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, or in the book of Luke it says, blessed are just the poor. How many of you think being poor is a virtue? Or meekness, right? If humility is that inward focus, meekness is that outward focus, that willingness to say, no, it's not about me. Is that a virtue in society? I think you understand where I'm going, what I'm getting at here, is that sometimes society lifts up these values and these virtues, and God is calling out saying, no, 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 no. It can be better than this. Life can be more full of grace and joy and peace. What we are called to do and to be, friends, is a light to all people, that they might see the love of God burn so brightly in us that they can't help but wonder what it is that is happening here. Is that a hard lift? Be honest, is that a hard thing? Sometimes yes. Sometimes yes. However, just like with my triathlon, what if I had started swimming a little bit a few months before? What would have happened? I might have been able to not drown in the middle of a lake. And what if I had swam just a little bit more each day? Maybe not only would I have not have drowned in the lake, but maybe I actually would have had a decent time. And what happened if I had ridden my bike more and more and more, or ran more and more and more, and actually built my muscles up? I would have crossed that finish line and not been exhausted. Friends, the life of faith is no different than this. Little bit by little bit, we can build our hearts and our souls through the power of God so that in all things we might act justly, we might be kind, we might be humble, that we might be meek, that we might love justice, that we might be filled with generosity and gratitude and patience and gentleness and all of those things that God points to. But the point is this: that takes time. That takes effort. And God has blessed us with that ability. So friends, I'm not necessarily going to ask you to do anything specifically today. I don't know. We're each at different points in our lives. But I do want us to reflect on this one thing. What can I do? What can I do to train my soul? What is one step I can take to start to build up my heart? That's the question that I want us to wrestle with now. Because in many ways, that is the most important question we have. Because what sets us apart from people is how we love. It's how we act. It's how we care for others. It's how we welcome people in. And that's hard work, friends. Because how many of us are human? I know. That's not necessarily a natural inclination, and yet we've seen it time and time again that it is possible. So friends, be not only encouraged, but take a moment and think. Ask yourself. Take a whole week if you need to. What is one more step I can take? Because friends, in taking that step, you and your family and your community will be blessed. What is one more step I can take? Amen? Amen. Friends, would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, fill our hearts with your love and your kindness, with a desire for justice and mercy. Lord, help us be a people that long for this. Put that desire in our hearts so that it might be a joy. Lord, give us the courage to turn inward, to find the ways that you are calling us to be holy and gracious and sacred. Lord, send your Spirit so that we might be enlightened and reminded of the ways that you have called us, so that our church, our community, may look upon the work that you are doing through us and may rejoice and find hope and peace, so that your light might shine out to all people and that your love may be present in us and among us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray these things. And all the people said, Amen. Friends, I invite you to stand as you are comfortable and sing with us our final hymn, Freely, Freely. It can be found up on the screens or in your hymnals on 389. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2, which should be all of it.
So friends, may the Almighty God give you peace, look upon you and be gracious. May you know that Christ walks with us and that we walk with Christ. So friends, may your hearts be transformed, may love be put in them, may you be a people of gentleness and kindness and graciousness. May you love justice as much as mercy. May you continue to preach the good news and be a light unto all people. Friends, go with God, and God will go with you, now until the end of all things. And all the people said, Amen. So friends, go and rest, enjoy the cold weather, and take your Sabbath. Today, our service has ended.